It's going to shock many of us today with what we're going to look at. Some of it's going to shock you. But I want you to know, out of the gate, as we reset this amazing thing called purpose, that God's desire is not to make you miserable. And I know that that seems counterintuitive to everything we've been taught in church, that God's desire is to make us miserable, but it's not. It's to be fulfilled. God's desire is not to make you like somebody else. I spent a lot of my Christian life in a movement that taught me that I was supposed to be like anybody other than Jesus. And it's okay to have heroes, and it's okay to have people you look up to. Because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But at some point, you've got to begin to take the baton and run on your own. And what I didn't want, and this is true, God does not want to make you like somebody else. For me, it hit early. I got saved, and this kid in my class, he was a Christian, and he was just socially very awkward. You know what I mean? Like, socially awkward. We all have our little things, but he just didn't present himself well. He was awkward, and everybody associated me with him because we were both Christ followers, you know? And after about a week of wearing my born-again t-shirt, I gave him up, but not this guy. You know, he kept wearing them like he would wear the shirts that you see now. If you wear these kind of shirts, I can't see out there. Don't get upset at me. They're just kind of awkward for me. Like, they'll take a Budweiser, right? Budweiser, everybody recognizes the Budweiser label that's above the age of 18. They get the Budweiser label, and they'll take it, and they'll put Bud is wiser since he came to Jesus or something like that, you know, some scripture. And if you're one of those people, you're just a bumper sticker billboard for Jesus. God bless you, man. But I don't want to be, you know what I mean? I don't want to be that guy. Then we have this fear that God is going to absolutely keep us in a mystical maze. We're going to talk in code because that's what Christians are supposed to do. We're going to act awkward. We're going to live in this magic bubble that you always feel spiritual in. We kind of act like God wants to show us off. That's really the way a lot of Christians live. And there's a lot of that, and it's real infantile because it's very immature. But we feel like God wants to show us off. Like, here's the bearded lady. You know, I pay to see the bearded lady. And we kind of like, is God really going to do that to me? Put me in this mystical maze? I want you to know the purpose has nothing to do with this thing. So you can all exhale. You can listen to the rest of the message and enjoy it. Because you knew when you left here today, you're going to have to go get a Jesus fish symbol, some awkward t-shirt, and start acting weird. And I don't want you to think that. If purpose or God is anything other than exciting or empowering or sparking curiosity or bringing hope, I want you today to reset purpose. Let God flip the switch today. It does not matter if you have tons of religious background. I mean, you are a walking Bible encyclopedia. You have it going on. You're one of those people. It doesn't matter if you come from that or if you don't know Genesis from Exodus. It doesn't matter. Religious, irreligious, God wants to flip the switch on purpose for you today. I want you to look with me at a guy that covers this from just about every angle. In the book of Ecclesiastes, this guy named Solomon. This is going to be awesome for some of you. I want you to look at this with me. Ecclesiastes 2:1. I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. And this way I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. This reverse reminds me of my uncle with the way it's structured. He used to smoke pot and read the Bible. We had some interesting conversations with this guy. He was really awkward. But, you know, he said, listen, I'm going to give myself over. I don't know if they had that then, but he had wine, so he went after it with that. But then he would try to, you know, mix that with the Bible. Like, okay, I'm going to get wasted, and then I'm going to read the Bible and talk to my friends about how cool God is. You know, one of those deals. I also tried to find meaning, verse 4, by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. All the green people are like, woohoo, here's not a cool part. This is a cultural reality 4,000 years ago. I bought slaves. It's a reality today, unfortunately. I bought slaves. It's detestable, both men and women. And others were born into my household. I also owned large herds of flocks, a sign of wealth from the book of Psalms, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold. If you didn't pay in gold or silver, Solomon could care less about your payment. That was the reality of how wealthy he was. The treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. That's girlfriends, for those of you that don't know what a concubine is. A girlfriend on the side. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who lived in Jerusalem before me. And my wisdom never failed me. Solomon, he says, listen, I came from a good home, if you read the early part of the book. I had a great education. I was very cultured, very savvy. I was spiritually awakened. And God had granted him whatever he wanted in life. He asked for wisdom, and God says, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you everything else. So he made him rich, he made him famous, made him powerful. He brought the, you know, he had the beautiful wives. I mean, he had everything that a guy could seemingly want in the world. But he did something that seems counterintuitive for the guy that's heralded as the wisest, one of the wisest men that ever lived. He said, listen, I'm going to find my purpose in something other than what God has showed me. I'm going to find my purpose. I look around me and I see this guy saying purpose is found here. I see this group says purpose is here. And these are some biggies. So I'm going to give everything I've got. He said the good things. I'm talking about name brands. Hey, we're going to have a good time. Hey, Fat Albert, you know what I mean? Always a party. Opulence, anything fun. And I'm going to pour my life into that. I'm going to see if I can find purpose. But here's what he found. I worked, and you look at it, he gets bitter about this one. I worked so hard for this. I mean, I've got all of this, and all this is happening around me, and I got all this available to me, and this is all it's about. And then he says, man, I'm going to give myself the substance. I'm going to numb. Talking about Super Bowl commercial, I am going to escape permanently reality. I'm going to be in a happiness state. But after a while, what he discovered was he was a stupor. There was no purpose to be found in being inebriated and being just avoiding reality, escaping reality. Then he said, listen, I'm going to try accumulation. What you have, what's in your wallet, what's in your portfolio, this, everybody's striving for this. I seem to have it coming in. Let's just put this thing in overdrive. Let's put the turbocharger on wealth. He began to accumulate. He began to acquire. And he said, here's what he found. He said, listen, I had it all. But I did not at any time discover purpose. I mean, I could lay out the busy card. You know, I'm busy, woo, busy, busy, busy. But no purpose. I could get lost in all these elaborate building projects that are so exciting. I mean, it's a cortisone high. But they did not fulfill me. And he said, listen, I'm going to give myself over to entertainment. This is all internally. He's letting you see what he did. It began internally. He said, it's fun to be entertained. It's fun to be known. Some people make a great living at being known. Think about Jersey Shore. Have you ever seen a collective group of people more ignorant that make more money? You know, five people, total IQ, 100, and they're like millionaires. Like, what happened with this? This guy said, listen, I'm going to have access to any kind of entertainment that I want. If I want the hottest bands to come in, I'm going to fly them out. I got the cash. I'm going to be entertained. Because people are saying, like, they live their whole week to go entertain themselves. They live their whole week, their work week, to go inebriate themselves. They live their whole week to look at the end of the week and say, look what I've accumulated. And Solomon says, I'm not a halfway guy. I love this about it. I'm going to put this thing in overdrive and see if it brings purpose to my life. And at the end of it, he said no. So he gave it one last shot. He gave marriage and family. When you see concubine, you automatically have to think marriage. Because in addition to his 300 wives, he had 700 mistresses, girlfriends, you know, booty calls, you know, whatever you want to call it, whatever they call it now, you know, on MTV. That's what he had. He had all access to that. There was no need for pornography. His addiction to sex, it was fed by his, you know, just walking in a room. walk around him. We don't have time to unpack what that really did to his life. But he said, listen, you think sister-wise, I'm talking about sister sororities, man. I have got it all that any man could want. All the fun, all the flattery, all the addiction. And he spends 206 verses of the Bible. He covers career, cash. He covers relationships, sex, drug, rock and roll, whatever was the music at the time. He covered generational gaps, politics, education, and spirituality. And this is the conclusion that he came to. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. Why would he say this? Why would he give this kind of verse? Because here is what he lived, that many of us have lived, that many of us are maybe you're getting ready to make a big mistake. This is what he discovered. Proverbs 19:21 says this, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. I mean, you can do anything you want. You've got a free will. You've got free choice. God says you can try to find purpose just like Solomon in anything. You can make these elaborate plans, and in your mind, it cancels. Okay, we've got to take this religious piece. I got this family faith thing going, and I'm going to manipulate around that. Okay, I got that covered. I can kind of include that in my story. And I'm going to take this piece of my image and my ego, and I'm going to construct it the way I want. And you can get it all laid out, and you can be on the fast track to winning. But there will always be a piece of your heart that is unfulfilled. There will always be a piece of your heart where there's something missing. And God designs you that way for a reason. Because he knows that only what we're going to look at today brings real purpose in your life. Will not be complete until we fulfill, check this out, not our purpose, but God's purpose for life. Solomon tried. He said investment portfolios are awesome to have. Having a lot of cash is a blessing. It's a great responsibility. It's a great weight. But it didn't bring me purpose. Having exciting relationships, and he found out, you know, where he kind of had it, he discovered the hard way by losing children and everything else, what having that elaborate marital justification system rather than just being with one lady in a married bond of covenant like God taught. He did his own thing, and he found out the hard way. He suffered a lot of false religion coming into his nation. He lost a lot of his children that way. But he discovered this. Even in the loss, he found the purpose. And he said, there's some awesome things I discovered. But here's the thing. When they are tried to put in the place of purpose, they are meaningless. I mean, accomplishment, you can put that in, and it seems like it's going to be really fulfilling. But then when you try to make it the purpose in life, it falls apart. And so what we do is we switch jobs. Okay, we got to switch jobs, we got to switch careers, and we do this, and we put this in, and then it's unfulfilling. We put family in there. So, I mean, we've got this southern Midwestern thing. We come in, and we put family in there, and family quickly folds what is supposed to be the purpose of your life. There's a lot of people working double and triple and quadruple time, not because they say they're trying to provide for their family, but it's because their Bible says their mouth crazed it of them. So if your husband or wife says, listen, I do all this for you, that's a lie. They do it for the charge they get from the book, was what the book of Proverbs says. Nothing wrong with working hard. But if working hard and accumulation in and of itself will never provide purpose. Family cannot do that. So what we do is we say, okay, listen, I've got this sex thing going with my wife or husband. We see all this stuff. We hear all these songs. We watch all these shows. We saw all these people, and they give us this bit like, I found my soulmates and my dad, so they blow everything up, and my kids are okay, and their kids are all jacked up, and they act like they're okay, so it makes them feel bad. So we kind of get this surrogate lifestyle going on. We live through other people. Some people live through their kids. Hello, Tiaras and Terrorists, or whatever that show is, right? And you've got the, I ate Twinkies my whole life. I'm going to live through my kids, one of those things. I never accomplished anything in life, so I'm going to push my son to the nth degree in something that he detests. We've got it everywhere. None of that brings purpose. Oh, none of this arrogance. But God still has this place that he wants fulfilled. And Solomon says, I've done it all. I've tried it all. And when you look at verse 13, to me, what I feel when I read that verse, it feels like don't have any fun. Life really blows, especially if you read the whole book. I challenge you to read this book, an awesome book of the Bible. Life blows. Life's no fun. go serve God. That's what it feels like. But if you read what Jesus said about purpose, the clarity he gave it, Solomon's kind of writing from this bin of, listen, I really, 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 really want you to get this message. I'm going to give it to you X-rated. I'm going to give it to you plain spoken. I'm going to give you this message where it's just ugly, and you're going to feel my bitterness. You're going to feel the mistakes I've made. And it's just kind of like, ooh, yes, okay, I got to find my purpose in life. Jesus brings some clarity. So Solomon kind of knocks us out, knocks the wind out of us. We kind of have to go back to the corner. We've got to cut over our eye that needs stitched. And Jesus is in the corner, ready to tell the rest of the message. And here's what he has to say. Matthew chapter 22. Check this out with me. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Check this out. It's unbelievable. And they're spinning that over 600 commandments could be fulfilled with these two statements. Jesus said the entire law and all the demands of the prophets, the whole Old Testament, are based on these two commandments. Jesus knew this. He knew that each purpose would be diverse. He knew that each purpose for each life would develop like a Polaroid. I tried to find a Polaroid camera. I tried to find one. Everybody, is anybody old enough to remember Polaroid cameras? Yeah, a lot of people. Okay, Polaroids, right? Take the picture, fan it in the air, and then you begin to watch that thing, and all at once a picture becomes. They're never clear pictures, especially when guys like my papa took them. He had this. He went through rolls and rolls of film. You know, he'd get you from here down or from here up, and, you know, you're like, this is so cool. There's my hat, you know? But you could watch this thing develop. Purpose develops like that picture. And Jesus spoke this narrative knowing it would transcend culture, multiple cultures, multiple centuries, multiple backgrounds, different language, all kinds of languages, all kinds of technological advancements. And he revealed this about purpose in these three little verses, or four little verses. Purpose involves faith relationship and making a difference. Purpose involves faith relationship and making a difference. Here's what we do. We try to mess this up really nicely. What we do is we separate it. We have, you know, making a difference and faith relationship. Get a faith relationship. We carried this over in our churches from Europe. Because in Europe, back in the day, where a lot of our churches, we have direct ties. You can't help it. You know, somebody handed the baton to you, you handed it to somebody else, whether it's a denomination or somebody was connected to somebody somewhere. Most of our churches, though, we fight against this natural tendency. It feeds this natural tendency for the speakers and the performers and the worship leaders or whoever, the people that perform on a stage, to entertain everybody. And they did that for a reason. The church throughout Europe during the Dark Ages kept the Bible chained to this pulpit. They wanted to be able to tell you exactly what it said, and you believe what it said, and you don't question it. You couldn't read, and you could barely speak, so you could care less. But God never intended for his Bible to be that. So some people, we've carried over this tradition where a guy speaks, and we're like, oh, that's fun, high five, that blessed me, yeah, okay, fantastic. Oh, I love this song, it made me cry. And we live out of here, and we do nothing with it. We don't personally, during the week, check out the Bible. We don't personally talk to God. We don't personally reach out to people that are around us because we've carried over this tradition of, we've separated it where you have a faith relationship and then, you know, then you help other people experience it. And so what we kind of do with that, then when we flip the cards and we mix them together is some of us swing the other way. And then you have to perform. You have to serve to get God's favor. And that's wrong too. But Jesus says, listen, just because people scramble the signal, and because there's a signal lost sometimes, I want you to know that finding your purpose will always involve faith relationship and making a difference. And he gives this multidimensional, multifaceted desire of purpose. I mean, every person here desires purpose. Every person here has a unique makeup, has a unique background, has a unique gifting, has unique talents, has a unique feel, has unique beliefs. And God covers this with this umbrella of grace. He says, listen, I know that you've that the umbrella is shame, or it's pride, or it's accumulation. And I know that some of my people and some of my leaders have made it about themselves, but I want you to know this. God says that my umbrella is grace. Read the verses again. Love the Lord. It's all about love. It's all about grace. God says, my umbrella of grace and love is what I give you purpose. And you can't, and you've got to know that. And so here's what he reveals. God reveals in verse 37 that this thing all begins on a faith relationship. Purpose is founded in faith. Solomon said, listen, I stepped away from that, and I tried to make it founded in accumulation or pleasure or sex or escaping reality. But what he came back to was this. It's founded in faith. It's not based, when you see fear God and keep his commandments, you know, they only had the Old Testament. We got to read into what Jesus says. Fear is about respect. Respect is about an intimate relationship. God is a masculine figure. He has feminine characteristics, like caring and nurturing, but he has a masculine identity. Respect is big. Respect and love is inseparable for the male person, for the male spirit, for the male soul. So when you look at this, God's saying, listen, I want you to have a real faith connection to me. I have stopped talking to man, and I have become man. And I became man so you would know what God looked like if he stepped into story. I want you to know that what I want you to do that's fulfilling, I did. What I want you to do to be effective are the things that I did. I want you to hear when God says, that's my beloved son. I want you to have that kind of relationship where God speaks something and you take a step and you have his approval. I want you to know that. Jesus said, because I go to my Father, you'll have greater experiences of me and greater opportunities of me because he goes to the Father and sends the Holy Spirit. So if you're cowering in a corner of rejection and fear, that is not blazoned or encouraged by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not endorsed by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the enemy. God says, I want you to have this relationship with me. I died to purchase it. I was buried and rose again to ensure it. And I want you to have a relationship with me. God says, I want you to have this relationship where there's nothing in between us. There is absolutely nothing in between us. Remember that love, you know, heart, soul, and mind? That makes up every piece of who you and I are. And God says, listen, I'm going to love you at every level, and I want you to have complete access to me. That's why I died and rose again. I want you to be able to bring your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, your issues, your concerns, your thoughts. I want you to bring those to me. And I, in turn, want to be able to connect with you. I want to have access to your heart. I want to have access to your mind. I want to have access to your soul. I don't want there to be any area of your life you got to hide from me like Adam did. It's just human nature when we mess up to hide. God says, listen, I want a relationship where there's no hiding. The old way was God was mad at you, and you have to do something to keep him from pouring his wrath out on you. Jesus said, listen, I want you to live that way. I came and died and rose again so you could be under an umbrella of grace. When you accept him, God's wrath is removed from your life, and grace takes its place. God doesn't want us avoiding. God doesn't want us running. And the moment that you accept Jesus Christ, you have the ability to discover your purpose. And it just comes with the deal. It just comes with faith relationship. But the cool thing is, it doesn't stop there. Once you're connected to Christ, you begin to impact other people's lives. Not to earn it, but because you have God's grace. Solomon showed us, listen, here's what self-absorption looks like. Here's what self-centeredness looks like. And let's just break it down real ugly and where it could be really a great movie. Let me just show you how ugly it can be when it's self-absorbed. You can try all these things to dump in the purpose gap in your spirit, but it'll never satisfy. Because purpose always involves faith relationship and making a difference. You and I are born to make a difference. You are born, before you come to Christ, you were born, you were created, you were birthed to make a difference. Some of you are making a difference or will make a difference as a housewife. And that is your role. That is your job. Some of you will make a difference as a CEO. Some of you will make a difference as a custodian. Some of you will make a difference as a student. Some of you will make a difference as a salesperson. But that is not your purpose in life. Your purpose is to know Jesus Christ and to be Jesus Christ in the world he's placed you in. So as you go into the world to be Jesus, we say it this way, discover Jesus, go be Jesus. You discover a personal relationship with him, you begin that, and as you continue that relationship, you go into the world that God has you, and you be Jesus Christ in that world. When you begin, it's fuzzy like the Polaroid, but here's what happens with purpose. When you begin to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's a key phrase. See, you're sacrificially loving people. But the problem is we don't love ourselves, and people panic from that when they grew up in church. But here's what happens. God begins to align your life. It takes your spirit, takes your emotions, takes your family, takes your job. So you know they're all scattered. He begins to align them. And you loving yourself is letting God continue to work in your life. You say, Jesus, I'm bringing my work life to you. It's not just when it's messed up, it's when things are going good. I'm bringing my family to you. And normally we would feel that guilt and shame, especially if we've done something wrong. God says, listen, I love you, and I want you to love me, and I want you to love people, and I want my love to be a part of their lives, but to do that, it's got to be a part of your life. So as you open up different areas of my life, you're going to be able to reach other people and have new opportunities. And God begins to align your life. You begin to make a difference. Most of the time, we don't know where to begin. We don't know where to start. But God says with purpose. Think about a message just in our small church with a handful of people that listen to our podcast. The different places we would have to start with purpose. And we have classes that help people get people started. They don't even cover the whole gamut of purpose. They cover as much as you can in that short time. Think about all the different personalities in this room today. All the different family backgrounds that would keep you from loving God and letting him love you. That would keep you from loving other people. Because what happens is when you don't let God's love into an area of your life, you become self-absorbed in that area and you can't see past yourself. That's why so many people circle the runway and you talk to them and it's the same problem every time, same thing every time. And they never take a step forward. Because they won't let God's love into that part of their lives. But as you begin to do that, God begins to fulfill his purpose in you. There's lives that are beginning to be changed. You don't have to wait till you have all the answers. It's not like getting all these classes out of the way and then graduating and then suddenly you're capable of serving Christ. God matures you as you grow and make a difference, as you go and make a difference. That's the way he made it. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to understand it all. What you have to say is this, Lord, I'm yours. I want to make a difference. I don't have all the answers, but you offer me purpose, and I want your purpose in my life. Where do I begin, God? God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Begin in a faith relationship. Your God, your mind, your heart. Don't overlook the wording. It's your God, your mind, your heart, your soul. God says, listen, I provided that. I provided that when I died and rose again, and now all you have to do is believe that I died for you, that I rose again for you, and invite me into your life, and we have a connection. We have a connection immediately. You have a faith connection with me. And then you'll make a difference. I'm going to take your unique gifting. I'm going to take your unique abilities, your unique personality, your unique background. I won't waste any of it. I won't waste your mistakes. God says, I won't waste your successes. I won't wait, put any of your gifting in a box and shove it aside and let that be off limits. I'm going to use your whole life to make a difference. And that's where purpose begins. If purpose for you begins with your career choice, you're always going to be unfulfilled. If you see your career, though, as a part of making a difference, that you lead that company or that sales team, that you're in that classroom, that you're that teacher's aide, or you're that LPN, or you're that RN, or you're that doctor, or you're that surgeon, or you're that engineer, you're that nurse or nurse practitioner. I mean, if you see your role as this is my job. But the overarching thing of my life is purpose that's based on grace and love. So how can I be Jesus in this world? How can I be Jesus? Some people stop at his family. Let's begin with family. How can I be Jesus to my family? That's the world I'm in. How can I be Jesus where I shop? How can I make a difference in people's lives that I work with? How can I make a difference in people's lives that God has placed on my path and in my journey? How can I make a difference? And as you begin to do that, God begins to radically shift what you live. It doesn't happen. I wish it did. I want your purpose. Put it on. Here's your purpose. No, man, that doesn't require faith. God says, take the picture. It's famous. Well, I'm a fan of that. Why don't you take a step where you see that, Nate? You take a step. You've accepted me. We have a relationship. I mean, you're in my photo album. You're my kid. And so you begin to take a step. And God says, listen, why don't you go ahead and get baptized? That's a step. Why don't you go ahead and begin to tithe? That's a step. Why don't you go ahead and look around you at the office place? Who needs counseling? Who needs love? Who needs an invitation to Life Point Church? And you begin to take steps. And then suddenly what happens is your life begins to align. And you'll begin to discover talents and abilities you never knew that you had. God says, listen, I gave you that gift when I saved you. And those 15 steps that you took helped me reveal that in your life. You have a whole new place where you can make a difference. And you spend a lifetime doing that. And as you go and as you make a difference, God's going to highlight these areas of your life with a song, with a friend, with a Bible verse, just with his Holy Spirit, where you lack love. And God says, listen, I know in that sexuality that you lack that real meaning. So I want access to that part of your life. I want to help you overcome that addiction. I want to help you become the person that I created you to be. We hold, you know, God says, listen, that cash area, that place controls you. And you act like that it's because you're saving for a rainy day, but since you live in abstract fear, and I want to come into that area and show you that it's okay to be aggressive and be adventurous and perform and even accumulate and do great in the world. I want you to know that it's not to fulfill you. It's because it's part of a purpose. There's some of us, you work a job and you don't have those accomplishments. It just seems like this steady thing for you. And God says, listen, well, there's more to you than that. You know that job you have that seems meaningless? There are 5, 10, 30, 20, 50, 100 people around you that I want to know me. And I'm going to use you. Salt and light. I'm going to let your marriage, I'm going to let the way you raise kids, I'm going to let your failures and wins, I'm going to let you be me in that place. You begin to discover your purpose. But it begins with one faith decision. And then a daily surrender, a weekly surrender, a monthly surrender, a yearly surrender. Step that we take? Who have you placed in my life? What skills or talents am I not?